patience is a virtue here. I know that's a very cliche thing to say. You got to take the time. You have to have a plan in place. You got to expect that there might be some loss in money at the beginning, but you're building a long-term ROI positive campaign that will bring you the money and the funds that you need to grow your business if you give it the time to allow to do that.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today in the studio, I've got joining me a fellow Canadian, Justin Hartzman. He is the co-founder and CEO of the first ever robo-agency Needles. He focuses on democratizing effective social media marketing to generate true ROI. And for those that are listening, I'm sure we all want return on investment for our social media efforts. Justin is a serial entrepreneur. He understands what it takes to guide a startup from a concept to funding and to a multi-million dollar exit. As a motivated, hardworking, and ambitious high-level thinker, Justin has a passion for business to inspire other startup teams and to let no obstacles stand in their way of success. As the co-founder and CEO of the first ever robo-agency Needles, Justin has identified and filled a desperate need for the understanding of SMBs to lend entrepreneur mindset and quick thinking that position him as a leader in his space. With multiple exits under his belt, he has built Needles into a scalable business from the ground up, securing millions in funding and expertly planning an exit strategy for the future. Coming from a long line of entrepreneurs and investors, from an early age, Justin has worked in the retail, in his family's business. He's risen up from managerial buying positions and then to lead pioneering position in several markets and internet visionary. Understanding the sales focus and team management, learning from others and what it takes to drive them, Justin is an avid traveler, an investor, a knowledge seeker, a family man, and a scotch enthusiast. So I can agree with him. I would raise a glass of scotch, happily hop on a plane, or sit in an investment seminar with him. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Justin to the Real Marketing Podcast.
Well, Doug, thank you for having me. That was real mouthful. So I don't know who wrote that on my team, but I think most of it's true. And glad that the world now knows everything about me.
Well, I mean, we talked a little bit before we got on air and you said you don't drink coffee. And so this is what happens to somebody who does drink coffee. It's more of a mouthful. I maybe should have had that glass of single malt or a blend and it would have gone a little bit more smoothly.
Yeah, that's for sure. It would calm you down a little bit. But no, again, thanks for having me. Hope I can be of value today, offer some good insights to everyone here, and do my little part in the world of being useful, which is my personal mantra.
So tell us, what is a robo-agency?
It's a good question. A robo-agency, as we see it, is an agency, as you would know it out there, a typical advertising marketing agency, but all done through automation. So I can give you a couple seconds on what we do here at Needles and how we employ that. And I think we'll give a better understanding.
Sure.
So in six simple questions, our users will fill out, we know who they are, who they want to sell to, and how and what it is they want to sell, using a lot of different AI methods to do it. Then we automatically create for them 50 to 500 ads in real time. And then we do the entire process for them automated again of the targeting of their users. And I'll talk about that in a second, as well as the optimization of their ads. So where we really stand out as a company being Needles is we find their perfect user in a completely alternative method to how everyone else does it out there. And that's by looking for intent to purchase within conversations on social media. So the AI piece, the main piece, and we use it all over the platform, I won't go into every piece of that, you know, the making of the ads, building of them, the optimization, but where we really, really stand out is in the idea that we understand when someone says on Facebook, my tooth hurts, what do I do? That they need a dentist and we should show them an ad in real time. So going back to the original question of what a robo agency is, we are robo because we're using artificial intelligence to do the entire process.
Okay.
But not only that, we don't have to have human interaction in that entire process that I just told you about. We actually do that with three account managers. We over 1,500 customers on our platform, making us one of the largest digital agencies in the entire world based on customer count.
Wow, that's amazing. So if I think about the traditional way of setting up an ad campaign, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or what the social media platform, I'm going to go in, I'm going to create an account, log in, put all my payment information in, and then I'm going to start the whole process of my targeting. Who am I going to target geographically, age, income, education, interest, other pages they like? Is that just a typical approach? Is that right?
That's right. But even before that, you need to understand the kind of ad that you want to run. And I don't just mean, is it a video ad or a picture ad? We're talking, what is the method that you're going to look for? Is it about optimization? Is it about branding? Is it about conversion? And a lot of those things are places that, while you might know if you really think about it, it becomes very overwhelming when your first question you're answering has 12 plus acronyms, of which none of them that you know. So it's a very complicated process. And as we see it here at Needles, or I do, like personally think about this, if you're an entrepreneur, a small business, a solopreneur, you know, 5 to 10 employees, you should be doing what you're best at, which is probably your job and leaving some of the marketing stuff to the professionals out there, especially when there's low cost services with really high ROI that exist out there, particularly Needles.
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, I've not used automation in that way in terms of running ads. We've always done stuff kind of the handcrafted way, but I've got a huge interest in seeing kind of where do you see artificial intelligence moving and machine learning in the whole social media space and marketing.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And more than just on the optimization and targeting side, I think it's the whole how agency focus will work in the future, how we'll be going about our campaigns. And as a futurist in the spawn, I've spoken about this a few times, but I really believe in it, that I think that, you know, come a few years from now, I can sit in front of my Alexa, my Google Home, my HomePod, whatever the virtual assistant that you have or voice assistant that you're going to have in your home, and we can really talk through an entire campaign, build out your advertising side, your landing page, and your email drips, all just by having that conversation, answering the questions, providing detail, and then the machine learning on the opposite side, building those campaigns and actually running it for you. So I see this kind of like the phone booth of the future to get your marketing done on a very non-emotional but data-driven way to actually bring results and take emotion out of the whole process, which I think is super important when it comes down to small business marketing. You've got in advertising, you have to take the emotions out of it. I really stress that a lot.
Well, and yeah, I guess with emotions goes ego. I think of a campaign, a Google campaign we were running for a large restoration company, and we were in presenting the results to their VP of marketing of the previous month's leads they had generated. And a discussion began of, well, my customers aren't as sophisticated. They won't search for that term. It's like, no, this isn't a hypothesis. This is real. This is your data. No, my customers aren't that smart. So then you get ego in the way of what the reality was. Clearly Analytics was reporting what the data said, and people intervening in that case messed with the process.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Well, if you think back even of, you know, early days, we started doing A-B testing and that was done kind of manually. And then you fast forward a little bit and we get into multivariate testing where we're using software to change out offers or colors of buttons or images or text and allow the computer to decide which one is getting a higher conversion. Is this really just a supercharged, fast forward, high-end version of that sort of process?
Yeah, I think it is I think this is the preliminary part of it that people don't realize they need to have before all of what you're talking about. The fact is you have to have ads, and I say this, you know, look like kitty cats and butterflies, because it has to be what people are expecting to see in their social media feeds. They can tell an ad a million miles away if it's produced as an ad.
Yep.
So it starts with creating the best ads, optimizing it, making sure that we're doing the best job to figure out. It's not always the lowest cost per click, but sometimes it's a low cost per click with the high click-through rate. So we're looking for the variants that work the best. And once we can get the baseline of ads and the right user, Then I think is when we need to come to the fact of let's try and actually do the multivariance across your landing pages, your email campaigns, your chatbot creation, whatever it may be. But people totally forget and they think that it's all done for them on the top part of this funnel, the part that we're filling, and they're worried about the back end. Both of them are equally important, but you have to have the front end honed in and working before the back end ever will. Because, you know, you might be having the front end, if the front end is not optimized where we're filtering the traffic, this traffic from the warmest traffic that we're bringing in from social media, but it's not that great. It doesn't matter how well you change. You might be getting small incremental changes on your landing pages and your email campaigns. But if you're knowing that you're optimized at the top first, then the changes on the bottom actually have relevancy of are they working or are they not? And you're really getting to your ultimate conversion at the same time.
And absolutely. And that's really what I was referring to. I meant that your tool really is like the multivariate test. You guys are creating all the ads. Your technology is automatically in testing them and refining them and then serving the best solution for the advertiser.
Yeah, exactly. And just to that point, you know, some of the times the best variant that we've created or ad that we've created may have had a spelling mistake in it. You know, like we don't know. Again, emotionally take it out of it. Don't worry about ego as to what you said.
Yeah,
some things just work and you don't know why. And that's why sometimes. So that's why we'll actually figure that out. We'll understand that by not creating one ad. You know, someone who's new to the Facebook platform, Instagram platform, will go and spend 3-4 hours to have a single ad. And they're like, okay, whew, I've done that. Let's, you know, go have a scotch. I put my $5 in, my $50, my $50,000, and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a good thing. We have to have lots of data to actually make decisions. And as you said, it might be those slight variants that really work. It doesn't have to be completely different, thought out process plans. It's the minor variances that really make the biggest difference.
Well, and I think the one of the points you made there is people think once the ad is created that they've done their job, and they often think of web pages the same way. And I've said, no, I mean, when you build a website, it's the same thing. The day you launch it is the beginning of your work. You need to get enough data, enough people through there to see how people are using it, what they like and they don't like. So to your case, you need to get enough advertising, enough data through to find out what your audience is looking for.
And that's absolutely the case. And I think that's, you know, I'm happy to talk about hurdles even for us in our business. That's the hardest part. And actually, you know, helping someone to understand that they need to take the time to collect the data to do it. So impatience is a really big issue for us. Because, you know, when we see it, we have most of our cancellations that happen the first 2 weeks, the people who have no patience. And then after they get over that 2-3-4 week hump, we see these people stay on for a year. So it's really a part of our job to educate, help people understand that you have to spend a little bit of money, get that data, understand it. Then we can really, you know, scale it up from that point once we've gotten to a place that everyone where it makes sense for everyone on that spot. But patience is a virtue here. I know that's a very cliche thing to say. You got to take the time. You have to have a plan in place. You got to expect that there might be some loss in money at the beginning, but you're building a long-term ROI positive campaign that will bring you the money and the funds that you need to grow your business if you give it the time to allow to do that.
But that's just good business as well, because I often have clients on the other end of the scale who show up and say, hey, you know, I want you to run a campaign for me. So, you know, I want to run a PPC campaign. I've got $50,000 US a week to spend. Let's go. It's like, no, let's do the research. Let's run the ads. Let's get some data. Let's get a baseline. So in those cases, we're saying, let's slow down. Let's not go spend all your money on day one. Let's get some learning before you just go charging ahead and blow through budget. Because at the end of the day, they're going to be like the guys in 2 weeks. They're going to be upset that they haven't got ROI.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. So it's managing expectations, helping that learning curve, and really letting people know what we're doing in the background is key. Actually sharing them with the, you know, the user journey, as we call it on our side, where you can come in, know what we're doing, how we're doing it, because people also get nervous as a black box. You're just saying, do something, here's money, and I'm hoping to get something out of it. So we really want to keep our users informed and automating that to inform them at the same time.
So what are the naysayers or what's the big myth around this, the tactic of using, you know, AI to, you know, automatically run your ads?
I don't think there's a myth per se. What I think that we find is that some people just want to have more control, and the more control that, so it's a hard balance for us. The more control that we give them or that we give them and make available to them, the slower it actually gets to the point where we could have done it if we used the automation that we've put in place and that we spent, I don't even know the amount of millions of dollars in time and energy in building this out over a 10-year period. You know, this is a newer company, but this is all things that we have done personally for our past businesses, for our users from our agency in the past, and we're bringing it to a software solution. So that's a tough question to answer for sure.
Okay. I just know that not everybody's into automation, and I like it because I like the fact that I actually think we're doing a better job and we're serving our customers better if we have more information about what they want and they don't want. Because, you know, I was on your website, I went through the demo, your customer service guy was very quick to jump in there and offer me some videos to look at and see how your service worked. And in the demo there, it was talking about somebody that was on Facebook and making a comment, "Hey, I've got all my wedding planning done. Now I just need a photographer," and then serving the ad. So I'm thinking, well, that's interesting because there's someone who's clearly raised their hand and said, "I'm having a wedding. I need a photographer." So opposed to me just sending Facebook ads to everybody who lived in my area, the only people who are going to see my ads in that case are people who are talking about needing a photographer. So I think we're being more respectful to the audience.
That's right. And like, that's a very literal example. More than that, what we do is we find people who talk about photography in that area over a period of time to define the proper demographic group. So I'll give you an example. So while we can identify that individual and send them an ad in relative, we do it in real time and Facebook will serve it whenever they want. That's not really the bread and butter. That's just like, that's cool. We can build groups around them and lookalikes around those people. But more than that, when I look at a history, I'll give you a perfect example and make it easy to understand here. Last night at 11:47 p.m., a gentleman in downtown Toronto, 45 plus years of age, under $100,000 household income, lives in a condo, no children, said, "My toilet's broken, there's water everywhere, exclamation mark, question mark, question mark." Okay?
Yeah.
We know what that guy needs. He's put his hand up and said, "I need a plumber. Someone help us." And we can serve that gentleman an ad. And then with a pixel, we can track to see if it actually converted, so on and so forth. But there's hundreds of plumbers in Toronto, and there's maybe only one person talking about it within a 12-hour period. So what we really care about is looking at 30, 60, 90 days, even back to the first tweet ever and years past on Facebook, to find more, a larger group, a larger net of people who have said something. So when we look at that same niche being the plumbing industry, and we look at a lot of data, it wasn't a 45-year-old blah, blah, blah male. It's typically a 25 to 31-year-old female with two children, with over $100,000 household income, living in a home. And now that we know that the majority of people who talk about it look like that, we can cast a wider net to that type of individual for the best chance of finding your right customer, instead of just going, you know, Facebook, how it works, I'll just tell people generally, and it goes much deeper than this, but how you would do it yourself if you were going there is you would choose an interest. So Doug, I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question here. If your toilet was broken right now, when was the last time you said you liked a plumber on Facebook?
Never.
Never, right? Yeah. So how can the only method be looking at interest or picking interests for your marketing and for your advertising? So we just think there's a better way, and we're trying to use all the tools that are available to us on the networks to help us do that better job. And quite frankly, I'll give you an example. I think everyone can talk about CPC rates, CPM rates, what they cost, and I can talk about them afterwards. But I think more important to that is, across Facebook and their 5 million users who use the ad platform, the average ad gets a 0.9% click-through rate. So that's from the best marketers in the world to the worst, 0.9%. On average, on the Needles platform, we're getting 2.7% click-through rate. So three times better than Facebook's own average, because we believe we're identifying the right people much better than the general interest method of doing so. And where our ads that we create and the variants of the ads that we do are a lot more homegrown than overproduced. So we think that's a huge advantage on what we're doing on the platform today.
Now, does Facebook reward the advertiser then for having a higher click-through rate, identifying that obviously they're more mindful in terms of what their messaging is?
The answer is, like, I'm pretty positive. They don't really publicize that sort of stuff, but their algorithm to choose the best quality score clearly has some of those pieces involved in it for sure.
Okay. Now, in terms of advertising, so what are the differences between running the ads natively or using your platform in terms of content creation or video or whatever else that you would typically see people using in Facebook?
In the way of method of doing it or just what we're putting out there?
So if I was to compare side by side, you're on one screen and I was on the other screen and we're both going to create a Facebook ad.
Oh, yeah. There's like 170 clicks to get a single ad live with all the things on Facebook. And like I said, 6 questions and I haven't counted the clicks, but probably 30 or less on our to do 50 to 500 ads for you. So it's a complete difference. We see anyone who produced the same amount of ads, so it depends on the amount of information they give us and how many ads that we build plus the budget that they've chosen. Yep. But like on average, if we're building 50 ads for someone, we're saving you probably about 10 to 12 hours of your time to just do that piece, which took you under 5 minutes on our side.
Right. Yeah. And I know that I've looked at the backside of ad campaigns that have been run by Facebook agencies, and they typically have a lot of ads. Like they typically have 50 or more ads they've created manually, and they're testing them all and adjusting the spend to make sure they're optimizing the client spend to get the highest ROI. But again, it's a manual process and you're paying, you know, thousands of dollars a month to have that managed.
Well, I want to agree with that. I also have to say that there's a lot of agencies in this world, and I think the number for us right now, I think we have 150 agencies on our platform using it to do those sort of things on their behalf.
Well, you may have one more when we're done our interview today. So,
well, I hope so.
No, I really found that the information you put out there has been pretty simple to use, or at least simple to understand, even for a marketing guy like me.
Well, I appreciate that, first of all, and that's the whole thing. While we are, you know, a user-focused platform, we also have a white label. So if you are an agency out there and you want to let your clients in and do everything, you can do that. We also have an agency platform, which is mostly white label, but they don't let their clients into, where you can go in, manage these people's ads on their behalf by essentially just letting us do it, pulling the reports and giving out to people. So we offer a solution to every type of agency and just end user out there.
So can you share with us a client, like maybe not the client name, but a specific example of somebody who got in and rolled up their sleeves and put a good hard effort in for 6 months, 8 months or a year?
I'm going to give you an example I've used before on podcasts. I won't mention which ones, but I think it's the perfect example of someone who's come to our site and used it and been very successful. They're one of our first users, and we call our customers users, is because it's a SaaS platform.
Yep.
Very first one, I think maybe 1 through 10, I'm not sure. She was a 65 plus year old woman in the Midwest in the USA. And she came to us and she said, hey guys, I want to advertise. And obviously not one-on-one talking, but through our chat or getting to know her in a case study later. So you can read this case study right on our website. But she was 65 and her goal was, she was a dog walker and she wanted to take it from 3 dog walks a week to 10. Because what her goal was better Christmas gifts for her grandchildren. Okay.
Yep.
Noble.
Yeah. Good goal.
So she joined our platform. She went on there, you know, 2 weeks in, she's like, I don't know. I've only found one more potential client. I don't know if this is for me. I'm just really not sure. And maybe I should cancel. And, you know, our team talked to her and educated her a little bit about it. And it came out the fact that she said, okay, I agree to wait a couple more weeks and see how it goes. Long story short, a year goes by. And I've known her. I've talked back and forth. I just asked her some questions, see how things are going. But it hadn't been about 6 to 8 months. I get an email or a phone call from her. And she says, Justin, you know, I'm going to have to cancel. Thanks so much. And I said, why? You know, you're going, I'm looking at your stats. I'm in your account. Things are looking very good. You know, things look great. Like, what's the problem? She's like, I just got to cancel. You know, it's just the best thing for me. I said, no problem. Happy to do that for you. That we have no commitments, we have no contracts, just press the button, do it, but tell me why. And she said, well, simply, you know, I want to get 10 dog walks from my 3 a week, but now I have 6 dog walkers for me doing 10 to 20 dogs a week, and there's just more business than I can possibly handle.
Oh, darn.
So that's obviously a great outcome, great story. 65-year-old woman who would never have been able to do this herself. Well, I don't say never. It would have been much harder, much more time, and she may have never got to where she was today and producing the results that she had hoped for.
Wow. Yeah, there you go. That's pretty cool. So what are you most excited about? So, I mean, you've been in the tech business and around the venture capital stuff for a long time, and this is a project that you've got a passion for. Like you said, it's been 10 years in the making. So what excites you as it relates to marketing in the next 6, 8, maybe 12 months?
Well, for us personally, AI in the market in general is key, and I think it's a very big, very big keyword right now. And I think there's a difference between artificial intelligence and artificial intelligence. What is really that statement? You know, what is really the smart intelligence out there? But I'll talk for ourselves. And what's exciting for us is taking our software as a service, which is a service right now, advertising on Facebook and Instagram, and building out a full automated platform for the full funnel for small and medium-sized business. So automatic creation of landing pages, chat bots, email drip campaigns that we can do in either a semi or fully automated using AI to help ensure that we get this done and fully automated is something that's super exciting for us in the future, because no matter how well we do on the advertising side, and the numbers don't lie, we do very well. If you have a bad landing page, or it's not mobile friendly, or you have no way to follow up to the email that you took, or so on and so forth, doesn't matter how well the advertising is, you're never going to convert a customer. So there's a lot more than just filling the top of the funnel. And we're excited to become from a software as a service to a software as a platform as we move forward.
Wow, that's quite a big goal.
Absolutely. That's why we have to go for a nice big round of funding come the end of the summer.
There you go. So what, in terms of kind of where the business is going and moving along, what bad advice do you hear people giving in the industry? I mean, you're probably at lots of events like I am, and you talk to lots of people, and I'm not asking you to name names, but, you know, I actually stole this this question from a Tim Ferriss book. I just thought, that's a really good question, because there's always people out there pushing people in the wrong direction. So what is the wrong direction that you hear people talking about?
Well, yeah, there's one particular thing, and it's whether I'm out or I'm just on Facebook and in the Facebook advertising groups where people are learning and teaching and I'm trying to mentor and help. And this idea of try and build an ad, try it with $5, and if it hasn't performed within 24 hours, just cut it and move on. I just don't understand that theory at all. The $5 a day test, it just simply, there's nothing about it that seems to make sense to me, because did that ad not work because you chose the wrong demographic? Was it the wrong ad that you built? Or were you sending it to the wrong place? Or was it just not a good day to have been testing it? I don't think there's enough knowledge. And the fact is, how can you ever do that if you're selling a $100 product, $100,000 product? How do we expect to get a cost per acquisition in $5? It just seems unreasonable. So that's a advice that a lot of people give that I totally, totally disagree with 100%.
And that just comes back to, I think, what you talked about earlier is getting enough data. You need to have enough data to make an education, and $5 you're saying isn't going to give you enough data points to figure out whether or not what you've created is worth running, retweaking, or just shutting off.
That's right. Because so for us, the minimum that we will do for our users, because it just doesn't make sense otherwise, is $50 a week. And that's really pushing it as well.
That's a pretty small budget. I mean, I'm not saying I get when, you know, you're bootstrapping. I remember when I started my first company, maybe I couldn't have done $50 a week, but that's a pretty easy target when you consider the alternate way of maybe doing this, whether you're going to create the ad yourself in Canva, you're going to go to Fiverr, and then all the stuff you're going to need to do. That's a pretty low barrier to entry for people to get in and get their ads running.
Well, we think so. And quite frankly, like, there's nothing you can do for even $50 a week. You can't have someone flyering. You can't do anything. And this is getting to the masses. We are getting data. We move forward. And I'll just alliterate that. It's minimum $50 a week. But if you're doing minimum $50, we lock you in for 1 month. So we have 4 weeks of data. So you're going to give us a $200 budget, which we think is the ultimate smallest you should have over a 30-day period to gain that information and see how we can actually scale it up for you in the future.
So that brings up the next note I had made on my page. So we're talking about minimum. So how scalable is your platform? So
we have people who do the minimum of $200 a month.
Yep.
Wouldn't suggest it. I don't think you can move fast enough to get that. And if you're doing the minimums, I'm gonna say this too. It takes a lot longer to actually get that data to start scaling up. So don't think we can do it faster because it's less money. So that's one. So we have people as low as that. We've had large companies, I'll keep remain nameless at this point, but that do $300,000 a month with us. So it varies across the board.
So there's no upside to your reach then in terms of what you guys can deliver?
Nope, there is none. And our pricing model remains the same no matter if you're at the $200,000 or the $300,000 in spend. We are meant to be unilaterally the same across our fee structure for everyone.
Oh, that's really cool. So moving forward, being that you're a smart guy and we both like a lot of the same things, who's one guest that you think I should have on my podcast?
You know, I've been thinking about that. And I guess we can define that. Is someone that we think would be interested in marketing or someone that you think you just have a good conversation with?
Well, someone we have a good conversation like we're having around business and marketing.
Yep. So a good buddy of mine, and I'm not going to promote his podcast, but I think a lot of people have a lot to learn from him. And the way that we are like is our curiosity of asking questions. It sounds like you're similar to that. I definitely suggest Andrew Warner.
Okay, Andrew Warner.
Excellent. If you do want me to mention his podcast name, I can tell you or not.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It's called Mixergy. And Mixergy is one of the top podcasts for startups. You know, asking similar type questions, getting deep into things. It's an hour long, but I listen to it religiously and I learn a lot. Even as much as I think I knew, I don't know anything. And I learn every single day, 5 minutes of some great information that I bring back and I use at my company, whether it's a marketing tactic, an email drip campaign that I didn't think of previously. I learned so much from it. So he's a super interesting guy.
Well, cool. I will be sure. I've actually listened to the podcast as well. It's funny, you know, because I'm in this space, I listen to lots of different podcasts because there's ton of information out there. And it's just I find it an easy way to learn because you can multitask. I can be in the gym. I can be for a run. I can be sitting on my back deck and enjoying some of Scotland's finest.
Yeah, there you go. Well, let me ask you this question. What's your favorite scotch?
What's my favorite scotch? I drink a wide variety. If I'm going to drink a blend, I would drink something like Johnny Blue. Right now, I'm liking the more peaty scotches, so I'm drinking Lagavulin. I also like some of the older Macallan. So
yeah,
I have a variety that are kind of from high end to low end. And then I have the really bad stuff that I keep for people who want to add Coke to it or add Sprite to it. They're like, how come that's not what you're drinking? It's like, because I'm drinking mine neat and you're putting soda in yours or pop in yours and you're going to ruin the drink.
Exactly. So I like a lot of the same ones. Obviously, you have some expensive taste there, but I'll give you one thing that my dad taught me, and he's an avid collector. We're talking hundreds of different types of bottles in every age, craziest, that you want to just impress someone, they're never going to know what it is, and it's not expensive, just buy Johnny Walker Double Black and give them that. That's if you just want one that's not expensive, everyday drink, well blended, no one ever knows, I think it's really expensive, and it goes over very well. But I think one of my favorites, I'm a Highland Park fan, and Oban is, and obviously Macallan.
Yeah, Oban is good. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if you guys really want to check it out, you can see, I don't personally love it, but there's one from, it's called the Founders Edition from Glenlivet. And actually did a whole video series with founders because it's Founders Edition of tech companies. And I did a interview commercial with that. So it was a pretty interesting thing if people want to try. Not so expensive, but still pretty good.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll leave you with one other business tip then that we learned. Yeah. I was down at the New Media Summit in San Diego this year, and that's how I met a bunch more podcasters. And one of the guys down there, I'm not sure how this applies with our Canadian tax laws, but as an American, he started a new podcast and blog for wine. And his wine then became tax deductible. So I've been thinking of a Scotch and Cigar podcast.
Well, first of all, I love that. I think about that and start companies all the time for that reason. No, I don't. But it is a good reason. Tax laws here don't exactly work the same. I don't think you write off your Scotch that way. But it's definitely an interesting way of doing it. But listen, we got to pay taxes in our country here in Canada. We love the socialistic society. We love where we live. Yep. Let's keep it that way. So happy to pay taxes.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Mostly.
I just want to pay the amount that I need to pay and no more.
We're with you, but being fair at the same time. So appreciate that.
So, hey, thanks so much today. I mean, I appreciate you coming on. I was super excited to have you on because I've been following your company and watching what's happening and watching what Tim Page was doing and loving the work that he's been doing with you guys.
Well, yeah, no, it's definitely my pleasure. I love doing these things. Obviously, I'm passionate about it or I wouldn't be doing it and love to be useful for wherever I can. And just anyone wants to reach out to me if they have any specific questions, just to say hi, you know, call me an idiot, whatever it is that you want to do. I'm always available. I'm here. That's what I love to do. Give me an email at JH. So that's JH at Needles, NEEDLS.com.
Okay. And website wise, where do people look you up
and
social platforms?
Yeah, you can just go to needles.com, needls.com/RMRF, obviously for this podcast. We actually have a discount there for everyone who's listening. It's 35% off our platform fee for the entire year. There's no year commitments. You don't have to pay it all at one time, but every month you're with us, 35% off. Again, that's needles.com/RMRF. Love to have you there. You can reach out to me on chat or email me.
Well, that's super generous. Thanks for offering that gift for our listeners. I appreciate it.
That's our pleasure. We just want to help businesses grow. As you grow, we grow at the same time.
There we go. So, hey, thanks, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. I hope you picked up some new tips and some techniques and some ideas. So if you're not advertising on Facebook, here's your chance to get in there and not have to take a six-month course to learn how to do it and just get started. And if you are advertising on Facebook, my recommendation would be run two platforms. Run what you're doing against what Needles is doing. And as a marketer, just look at the numbers and look at the results and see where you should be best spending your money. So thanks for tuning in. We look forward to serving you on our next episode.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.